The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Game 7. The Bucks stave off elimination, and our guys tell you what it will take for Milwaukee to cut down the nets in Brooklyn. Plus, fuel for fire. Patrick Mahomes teaming up with TB12 for the Madden cover, but wait until you hear how Tampa Tom is firing up the Chiefs. And Packers plan. They say Rodgers or Love, the game plan's the same. Really? Wait until you hear what our team has on that as we get up right now. And so happy you could join us today on Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. And we have a jam-packed show today. Ton of football to talk about. And our team is raring to go. Rob Ninkovich, Kimberly A. Martin, they are here. Mike Tannenbaum, Marcus Spears are on their way. We'll get to all that. But first, let's start with the NBA playoffs and the game of the night. And boy, it was a big one. Nets, Bucks, Game 6. KD, Giannis, raring to go. The Nets advance with a win. The Bucks are out with a loss. Early first, Giannis attacks Blake Griffin, gets the basket and gets fouled. Giannis was on fire early, still in the first. Bucks up 9. Giannis switching on Jeff Green, blows by for the layup. Bucks up 7 after the first quarter. Before the end of the half, Bucks up 8. Chris Middleton, the open 3. Middleton had 19 first half points. Bucks up by 11 at halftime. Go to the third. Nets down 9, and Durant fakes the jumper over P.J. Tucker and knocks it down. He had 12 in the third quarter. Nets down 7. Before the end of the third, watch this. Middleton with a little trickeration there puts it back at the buzzer. Bucks up 11 heading into the fourth. Fourth quarter, up 12. Giannis drives, fouled, and gets the layup. With authority, Giannis all game. And under 7 to play, Pat Connaughton misses. Giannis with the offensive rebound, and boom, the slam, throwing it down. Bucks winning this one, 104-89, forcing a Game 7. Here was Kevin Durant after the game.
I wasn't even trying to duplicate anything. I mean, I was just trying to go out there and play each possession. I'm not trying to be a hero out there. I know we can't win a basketball game myself, so I'm trying to let the game flow, and tonight wasn't our night.
I enjoy the game when I'm aggressive, when I can get downhill, when I can get my teammates involved, and when I play to my strength. That's when I enjoy the game the most, and that's what I try to do.
And he did what he had to do. Giannis and Chris Middleton both had 30 points and 10 rebounds yesterday, making them only the second pair of teammates to each record 30 and 10 in multiple games within a playoff series. The only other duo to do it, Kobe and Shaq, who did this with the Lakers in the 2002 Western Finals en route to their third title. Let's bring in Zach Lowe and Kendrick Perkins. And Perk, I'll start with you. What was the difference with Giannis in the game last night?
Well, he had Chris Middleton, so he could be a Robin and put all the pressure on Chris Middleton to deliver. But I thought Giannis did a great job last night of attacking downhill, not settling for jumpers, getting into the paint. I also thought Coach Budenholzer did a great job of putting Giannis at the center position, at the five position, when spreading the floor out and letting them go to work, giving them that room to attack downhill where he had spacing. But Giannis didn't settle, and he flourished well in his role, which is a Robin, and let Chris Middleton be the Batman, and it just took a lot of pressure off of him.
Interesting flip there. And you talk about pressure, Zach. That was what everybody was doing, putting the pressure on Giannis. So what did you think about Giannis last night?
Agree with Perk. Look, Giannis is shooting 64% on twos in this series. You know what he shot in the regular season? 64%. You cut the threes, he's doing what he does. And Perk is right. They found the right balance. Giannis in transition, Middleton in the half court with Giannis screening for him. And Perk's also right about playing smaller with Giannis or P.J. Tucker at center. That lineup has been really good in this series. We might even see more of it in Game 7. Both teams are down to essentially six guys. I mean, we're down to the absolute bare bones of a rotation at this point.
Yeah, you think about it. It's just the injuries, everything else has really limited both teams at this point, making Game 7 to me all the more exciting. So, Perk, who wins Game 7?
Oh, I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks. I picked them in seven, and here's why. Right? The Brooklyn Nets just don't have enough. And when I say that, their role players consistently can't get it done. I don't believe that Jeff Green could have another big night like he did in game five. I don't think that Blake Griffin could go out there and get you 17 to 18 points. And Joe Harris has just been missing. You might as well put him on the back of a milk carton.
Zach, who do you have getting game seven?
I hate agreeing with Perk. It's so fun agreeing with Perk. But I actually think Milwaukee is going to go into Brooklyn and win if I have to make a pick. But this is why game seven is so fun, because we know the stars are going to show up more or less. Even if they have inefficient shooting nights, they're going to put up numbers. They're going to do what they do. It's going to come down to, does Landry Shamet get you a few threes? Does Blake Griffin get you a few threes? Does Pat Connaughton get you a few buckets? It's going to come down to a couple of role players, a few shots here or there, who have big, big moments on the biggest stage. And that's why game seven is so fun, because this series has been a war. It's been all defense. It's been ugly. And if the margin is that thin, it's going to come down to a bunch of little things. And that's why game seven is always so fun.
It has been everything it was billed to be. We knew it might go the distance, and now it has. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. All right, guys, thank you so much. We'll come back to more Bucks Nets in a little bit in the show. But let's go to the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, he suffered the worst loss of his career in Super Bowl 55, a 31-9 beatdown at the hands of Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So on Thursday, Mahomes talked about bouncing back from that game and how the offense continues to evolve.
And when you get beat like that and on a stage like that, you're going to feel like that at all times when it's kind of talked about. So for me, I'll try to make sure that doesn't happen again, no matter what game it is. We had a great offense this last year, but I think we can still get substantially better if we continue to evolve and I continue to get better and better with my decision making.
Better and better. The Chiefs offense, better and better. How about that? Kimberly A. Martin, Rob Ninkovich with us. All right, Kimberly, so what does even better look like to the Chiefs?
I mean, winning multiple Super Bowls, they're pretty damn good, right? But to me, looking at last year's Super Bowl, the Chiefs' O-line was the biggest issue. That was the biggest factor. So Mahomes can say all he wants, but I have to make better decisions. Okay, but shout out to Hembo, our guy Hembo, for reminding me of this stat. Mahomes is 29 pressures during the Super Bowl, most in Super Bowl history, 29 pressures. It's all about the O-line. So they've upgraded that. So the Chiefs, they should be ready to roll. But it's interesting. He's young, and he's already been to two Super Bowls. That's pretty damn impressive. So it's a gift and a curse for being that good.
Yeah, as soon as you shouted out Hembo, a little Hembo graphic picked up. So, wow, he's getting a good Friday so far. All right, so, Rob, you were on the 2011 Patriots that lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. So I wonder, what are the Chiefs going through as they try and bounce back?
Well, we all know physically, they're a great football team. So now it's going to be mentally. How do you get over losing the Super Bowl? That's one of the most devastating feelings you can have. You work the whole season, you get to a Super Bowl, and then you lose that. And you know that you have to go all through the regular season again. You got to stay healthy. You got to get through the playoffs. You have to win those games to get back. So I think right now they have a group of guys, starts with the head coach, that talks about legacy and wanting to get back and win another Super Bowl. You know, you're not content with just one. There's plenty of guys that have just one. When you start to get in that 2, 3, 4 category, that's when you talk about long-term legacy. So I think they have the right group of guys as far as wanting to get to those big-time games and have a legacy. And Patrick Mahomes has talked about getting back to the Super Bowl, not just once or twice, but multiple times. And they have that group of guys. They have the right mentality. So for me, I think that having the mentality, having the head coach, moving on to this season, forgetting about last year, they have that group of guys that can do it. So I think that they have a chance, definitely have a chance with that group of talent that they have, especially with the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. It's like they're playing the long game when you talk about this team and how it's built. Kimberly, you brought up something really interesting in the meeting that we had before the show. This idea that there's a lot of pressure on Mahomes, and it has a little bit to do with how young he is. Talk about that.
Well, just think about it. Think about guys that are in the NFL. Like, Nick, he's blessed. Patrick, blessed. Like, some guys come into league, never win a Super Bowl. And Patrick Mahomes, as young as he is, has gone to the Super Bowl twice. And the idea that not making the Super Bowl and winning it, like, that is the litmus test for him. Like, that's all he's focused on. It is a blessing and a curse because it's a great position to be in. But as Nick was saying, when you talk about the greatest QBs, when you talk about the guys, you know, if you got one Super Bowl, that's cool. But if you have multiple, like how we look at Aaron Rodgers versus how we look at Brady, like who's great, like those things are already in his mind and he's so young. And the Chiefs have a very short window. The window is open, but how long can they keep this whole team together? That's the thing.
It's a very interesting point. You're saying the bar has been raised, so now at 25, he has to keep trying to get to that bar, as difficult as that is, considering how difficult it is for anybody to make it to the Super Bowl. Absolutely a tough, tall task there, but if anybody can do it, Patrick Mahomes can. All right, guys, we're going to be right back, talk a little bit more about that and some other NFL notes. But first, let's get up and go. A lot of news from around sports. Rick Carlisle resigned as head coach of the Mavericks, ending his 13-year tenure one day after the departure of president of basketball operations Donnie Nelson, who were both a part of that 2010-2011 championship team. An MRI on Mets ace Jacob deGrom's right shoulder came back clean, manager Luis Rojas said. Rojas also said the team plans to take a day-to-day approach with deGrom and that there are no plans right now to place him on the injured list. And finally, world number two, Naomi Osaka, withdrew from Wimbledon yesterday to take personal time with family and friends, but plans to be ready for the Olympics and is, quote, excited to play in front of her home fans. Well, coming up, we're getting KD versus the Greek Freak in a Game 7. Which MVP will carry his team into the Eastern Conference Finals? Plus, with or without Aaron Rodgers, the Packers say they're going forward with one plan. Really? The NFL's best soap opera continues next on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Hall of Famer.
The greatest point guard ever.
5-time NBA champion.
There's only one person all that applies to.
Magic Johnson knows what it takes to be a winner.
He'll speak with us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Followed by a stop in to get up.
And he'll join me on First Take.
It's Magic in the Morning, Monday, June 21st, starting with KJZ at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Get up on ESPN starting at 8 Eastern.
And First Take at 10, Monday, June 21st. Magic all morning.
Get Up is brought to you by Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. The College World Series 18 double elimination format starts tomorrow in Omaha, Nebraska, with NC State squaring off against Stanford at 2 Eastern. Then it's Arizona taking on Kumar Rocker and Vandy at 7 Eastern. Both games are on ESPN and the app, so you can watch anywhere. Let's talk more football and back to the biggest story in the NFL offseason, the standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. On Thursday, head coach Matt LaFleur, fielded an interesting question about his team's preparation. Listen to this.
You know, some of the 6 weeks you're going to be working on your plan for training camp. Do you need to have 2 separate plans for camp? One if Aaron's here, one if he's not?
No, we'll have one plan. We've kind of pretty much laid that out. Just going to fine tune some things over the next few weeks. It's the same message it's been all the time is, I mean, you're only one play away. So you always have to prepare like you're the starter.
I mean, I heard that, guys, and I thought, wait, what? Wait, what? Wait, wait.
what? So I wanted to bring in Mike Tannenbaum and talk about this. And then I said, wait, what, again? This is the thing. One plan, you got an MVP quarterback and a guy who hasn't even played a game yet. So I want to ask you first, Kimberly, what was your reaction to Matt LaFleur saying they have only one plan?
Yeah. You know what his plan is? Waiting for Aaron Rodgers to walk through the door. That's why one plan. Okay. Matt LaFleur has been very consistent about what he wants, and it's Aaron Rodgers. It's funny, listening to that clip, it reminded me of a special moment in Jets history when Darrell Revis finally ended his holdout. And he walked onto the practice field, and the guys were just cheering, and like, finally, we got him back. Like, this is what's playing in my mind. Like, that's what Matt LaFleur wants, that Revis moment of Aaron Rodgers emerging onto the field and Jordan Love, you know, having a seat.
And Kimberly, that was all the work of Mike Tannenbaum, former GM. Mike, I got to bring you into this. You had an interesting thought in the meeting about this whole situation and how there might be a potential compromise. Talk about that. And also, like, let's talk a little bit about that Revis moment that I'm sure you orchestrated personally.
Yeah. And thanks, Kimberly. You know, that moment cost me at least 20, 30 pounds. So, you know, my suggestion to Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy, get it done sooner than later. And by the way, they're lucky they didn't have to deal with that on Hard Knocks. So thanks, Kimberly. I really appreciate it. But yeah, Ryan.
Good times.
Watching the world. Yeah. Watching the world news, I see this great summit going on between Putin and President Biden and Geneva, Switzerland. And hopefully, you know, there's improved relations there. And maybe Mark Murphy could take some inspiration from that moment. And maybe they'll excuse Aaron Rodgers from this week's minicamp so he doesn't get fined. And in all seriousness, it's a small step, but it could be a meaningful step in the right direction, because when you're in these situations, and I've been there a couple times, you're looking for ways to make progress. And you can make progress this week if you're Green Bay by saying, hey, look, we're going to excuse you from minicamp. We're still going to work hard to figure out a solution, whatever that may be, economically or non-economically. But while we could find you, we're not going to. The risk Green Bay runs is, take a player, Davante Adams. If he's unhappy with his contract next year and he runs the same play, now you run a dangerous precedent of he's going to say, well, you didn't find Aaron Rodgers, you can't find me. And now moving forward, it's much more difficult to have a mini camp.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is set that precedent. Now, Rob, I want to talk to you about what it's like in Aaron Rodgers' shoes, because you hear Mike talking about the small steps, the meaningful steps, but at the same time, what's it like? And I know Aaron Rodgers has talked about how this isn't about Jordan Love, but have you ever been in a situation where you're there and you've got another player drafted behind you? What are those feelings like for you that might give us some intel on Rodgers?
Look, I was a long snapper at one time, so I was at the bottom of the bottom trying to work my way up on a roster. I can't compare myself to Aaron Rodgers' shoes and how he's feeling right now. I've never been there. But I can tell you, as a starter, when I was with the Patriots, they drafted a ton of guys to try and take my spot. That's just the nature of the business. But I think that it's different when you're Aaron Rodgers. They go and they move up and they draft a young quarterback to basically be a replacement. And guess what? He goes out there and he's the MVP. So he really kind of made him look foolish to go and try and get a young quarterback when he's playing at such a high level. So I can understand why he's a little bit upset. I'm sure he was mad. I was upset when they would draft the third round, second round player in my position. But guess what? I went out there and I tried to do the best that I could to make sure that that guy never took my spot. So I think Green Bay, they're in a tough position because they did this to themselves. Aaron Rodgers, of course, you're not going to fine him. What are you going to say? Oh, you owe us how much? $150,000 for missing minicamp? No, that's not going to help anything. So, you know, for me, I think that they need to do their best to try and mend this relationship, because guess what? If they don't and he goes somewhere else and wins a Super Bowl, all those guys associated with that trade, they're going to be in a 30 for 30. They're going to have a documentary about it, and you want your name in that documentary, especially if he goes out there and he balls out, which he's going to do because he's Aaron Rodgers.
Mike, go ahead, jump in.
Yeah, you know, one thing I disagree with Rob is that, well, he was a long snapper. Tom Brady certainly wasn't. And when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, all Tom did was double down, work harder, get better. And obviously the rest is history. And the part that's really disappointing to me is Aaron Rodgers, you're a world-class competitor. You're the reigning MVP. Just go play great, and it's all going to work out for you, either in Green Bay or someplace else. But Tom Brady, played out his contract. He left peacefully, and obviously worked out great with him in Tampa. But I think there are some parallels between Jimmy Garoppolo getting drafted and the way Tom Brady handled things. And the way, now look, Green Bay moved up in the first round. We could criticize him for that to get Jordan Love. But Brady handled it in a much different way than the way Rodgers is handling it right now.
And I just want to say it again. Rodgers talked about how this isn't about Jordan Love. It's about the culture. It's about different things within the organization. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later and how the organization is handling all of this, guys. All right, thank you. But I want to get first to this little bit of eye candy right here. Let's take you over to the U.S. Open. Check out this shot for Rory McIlroy on the seventh hole. It's his third shot. Chips it up on the green, and watch how it slowly makes its way to the hole. Is it going? Oh, nailed it. What a birdie for Rory right there. He would finish one under in the first round. Louis Oosthuizen, Russell Henley tied for the lead at four under par. Mike, you're a big golfer. What do you think about that? You hit many shots like that?
Yeah, I got Bandon Dunes behind me here. I couldn't roll the ball like that. If you gave me 1,000 shots, I'd just be happy to get it on the green. That is really remarkable.
Amazing stuff. All right, well, coming up, Brooklyn's Big Three. They started the series dominating the Bucks. Now they're facing elimination. So what must the Nets do to win? Find out next on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tonight on ESPN, ESPN Deportes and the app will have a pair of elimination game sixes for the Sixers and the Jazz. It's win or go home time. Philly, Atlanta, 7:30 Eastern. Then it's Utah, Clip City. Countdown crew starts coverage at 7 Eastern. And Mark Kleischer and PJ and John Barry will have the Sixers Hawks on ESPN radio call. And we'll talk to PJ in just a second. But first, let's go to the game of the night. Last night, Nets, Bucks. Kevin Durant, the Nets, facing Giannis and the Bucks. Nets win and they advance. And Bucks did all, Giannis did all he could to make sure that didn't happen. Right there with the basket, gets fouled. Still in the first, Bucks up 9. Giannis blowing by Jeff Green. Bucks up 7 after first quarter. Before the end of the half, Bucks out to Middleton. Nails the three. Middleton with 19 first half points. Bucks up 11. Third quarter, Nets down 9. Durant fakes and hits the jumper. Durant had 12 in the third. He was doing his thing. End of the third. Middleton gets it right there and lays it in. Puts it back right at the buzzer. Bucks up 11 heading into the fourth quarter. So now we go to the fourth. Bucks up 12. They're in transition. Giannis driving, making the layup, getting fouled, doing it with authority. And then under 7 to play. Bucks up 17. Pat Connaughton misses a three. And guess who's there? Giannis with the slam, throwing it down. Bucks win 104-89 to force a game 7. Giannis with 30. Chris Middleton with 38. And we bring in PJ Carlissimo to talk a little bit about this game. All right, so PJ, you're on the call tonight for that game, but I want to talk to you about this one. Why did the Bucks win this game?
They defended really well, but what they did was they got their offense untracked, Ryan. Their defense fed their offense. They had blocks. They had 12 steals, 6 blocks. They did a really good job defensively. If you watch right here, good penetration by Joe Harris, but Brook Lopez has the answer, the block. But what they did in transition, Giannis didn't settle all night. He took it to the rim. That's an and one there. That's fast break points. They were 26-4 fast break points. PJ Tucker gets a strip there. There's Giannis in the full court again. He gets into the paint. He gets the call, the block charge call. Their offense was created by their defense. Third time in 8 days, Ryan, they held one of the best off, the number 2 offensive team in the entire league, under 100 points, third time in 8 days. Mm-hmm. Now, admittedly, all of those games were in Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. The home court has been so important in this series. But Chris Middleton was the difference for them. Every time it got close, there was never a lead change. But they had a 15-12-point lead. It got close. They cut it down to five in the end of the second quarter. Giannis with the offensive rebound. Chris Middleton, back-to-back threes, took it up to 11 at the half. Third quarter, they cut it to five again. Look at this. Five Nets in the lane. They just packed it in, defied him to shoot the ball outside, which they couldn't do. But Middleton again, this time, three straight possessions. He made twos this time. Got the lead back up again. In the fourth quarter, the same thing happened. Chris Middleton, they cut it to five. He made the big shot on the side out of bounds. Actually made a four-point play. Middleton was unbelievable. He handled the ball well. But more importantly, every time they were threatened, he had an answer. He was the difference in the game. And Giannis, best decision-making of the series so far. He refused to settle for perimeter shots. He was aggressive in the paint. And when they were able to get him running in transition, that was the difference in the game.
And that was the Giannis many people wanted to see. Now let's talk about Game 7. The all-important Game 7 is going to take place Saturday in New York, where the Nets have won all the games in this series. So according to our BPI, the Nets are the slight favorites to win at 60%. But if you go out of the desert, our friends at Caesar William Hill have installed the Bucks as a slight one-point favorite. So, PJ, what do the Nets need to do to win Game 7?
Well, they need to get back to defending. They didn't defend as well last night as they did in the other games. The home court's been important, not just the six games in the series, Rye. The three times they played in the regular season, nine times these teams have played. The home team has won every time. But the last game, Game 5, everybody forgets, KD was so unbelievable. But it was a one-possession game. I expect James Harden to play. The good news for the Nets last night, James Harden got it going. I mean, Kevin's been great every night. You can't play as well as he played in Game 5 again. But James Harden last night made shots, looked like the James Harden we're used to seeing. I think it's going to come down to the best players. KD and Giannis, are they going to play? Of course they're going to play. We got to see what happens on the defensive end. The team that has made threes has had an advantage in this series. Last night it didn't work out. Milwaukee couldn't throw the ball in the ocean from the three-point line, but they were really good with the fast break points. That was the difference last night.
Okay, PJ, you're going to be back with us next hour to talk more about these games, and you'll be on the call for Sixers-Hawks tonight on ESPN Radio. Great to talk to you, my friend. We'll be right back to you.
All right, Rye.
All right, let's do a little either or from the NFL. And let's start with this. Rob Ninkovich, jump on in here. Cam Newton or Mac Jones?
I'm going with Mac Jones. And the reason I say that is just in general, you're going to see a young player come into an organization where they understand how to win. And when I say that, you're going to put your players in the best possible position. So I'm going Mac Jones. They're going to go old school. They're going to run the football. They're going to play defense. And Cam Newton's going to come in the low red zone, and you're going to see him in goal-to-go situations with Mac Jones on the field as well.
Okay, so that's your call for who wins the starting job. Kimberly, Jimmy G or Trey Lance?
Okay, hear me out, football fans. It's going to be Jimmy G. Here's why. He's experienced. And he knows this team, and he knows what it takes to guide a team to a Super Bowl. Now, he might not win you one. That's why Trey Lance is here, but it'll be Jimmy G to start, and then we'll see Trey Lance.
Okay, Mike Tannenbaum, I'll bring you in. Who wins the starting quarterback job, Justin Fields or Andy Dalton in Chicago?
Justin Fields, this is easy. As my man Hembo reminded me, at Ohio State, 78 total touchdowns for Justin Fields. Only 14 turnovers. As soon as he knows the offense, knows the protections, knows where to get rid of the ball when there's blitzes, he needs to start. He is massively more talented than Andy Dalton.
Massively more talented, you say. And speaking of that massively more talented individual, Justin Fields, he talked about the quarterback competition in Chicago yesterday. Take a listen.
I've been in a situation like this before, and, you know, all I did was get better. So I feel like if you can control what you can control and come to work every day with a positive attitude and a want to get better, then, you know, there's no stopping you. And I think when, you know, that time comes, when I do get my opportunity, I just have to be ready for that moment.
Okay, when the time comes, it could be sooner rather than later. So, Rob, you're a Chicago guy. Who do fans there want to see as their quarterback week one?
I think we all know who they want to see. They want to see Justin Fields out there starting week one. And look, if you're a fan of the Chicago Bears, you are salivating, trying to get a quarterback to come in that is athletic, that can throw the ball down the field, that can make all the right moves in the pocket to get out. And listen, even if he makes a few mistakes, I think that the Chicago Bears fans would rather see Justin Fields out there go through the growing pains of being a young quarterback in the NFL as opposed to seeing an average Andy Dalton go out there and kind of do the same old thing that he's done in the last 5 years. So I think that Justin Fields, you drafted him for a reason. He's your number one pick for a reason. Put him out there, get him the experience, because he's going to be your franchise player. So why hold back and go through another season of this when you can just try and ride the wave up and make sure that your young quarterback gets all the reps possible?
Okay, so Kimberly, Rob calls Andy Dalton just an average guy, just an average Andy Dalton. But you said in the meeting earlier, you're actually okay with him starting.
Listen, Ryan, I will pound this hotel room table until everybody is sick of me saying this, but I'm actually okay with Andy Dalton being the starter. I really am, only because I think the worst case to me is starting with Justin Fields and he falters, and then there's a question of, should we go to Dalton now? Do we stick with Fields? Like, once you go with Fields, you got to stick with him. And I think Andy Dalton at least is that bridge guy. Early in the season, try to win some games early, take the pressure off. I think Chicago is a pressure cooker. I think right now everybody's under pressure to win, self-preservation mode, but this is about Justin Fields and developing him and making sure he's ready to be the franchise guy for years to come. It's not just about Andy Dalton and what happens here in 2021. Think beyond that.
Okay, so Mike Tannenbaum, I come to you, and I see you shaking your head, but I just want to back up Kimberly a little bit here, because we've seen time and again quarterbacks thrown to the fire too early, confidence destroyed, never seem to get back on track. What do you think about this?
Yeah, well, as that aforementioned Jet team that Kimberly talked about earlier, we had Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez only started 13 games at USC. He started from day one, snap one. We went to the championship game that year because we had a really good defense. We forget the Chicago Bears went to the playoffs a year ago. They have a really good defense, and Justin Fields is a really good athlete, way better than Mark Sanchez. And Mark, in his first 2 years, won 4 playoff games. So my point being is his ceiling is so high, I would put him out there. I understand, Kimberly, like, there will be growing pains. It's not going to be perfect from day one, but he is a high character, high talented player that he's going to give you a much better chance to win. One, because Dalton's average, and two, he was so productive both with his arm and his legs, paired with that great defense. They can win from day one and keep developing him.
All right, but just real quick, Mike, what if he throws a bunch of INTs and things aren't going his way? What do you do then?
Yeah, Ryan, totally fair. You just have to live with it. I mean, you could put Dalton out there, but as Rob knows, your locker room is going to keep the front office and head coach in balance, meaning that if at practice there's such a disparity, you really have to consider playing Justin Fields. And your point's a fair one, which is it may not be perfect from day one, but I think he's so talented that I think there'll be a lot more good than bad.
All right, so we'll see how this plays out in a city like Chicago where it's like playoffs or bust at this point. Guys, we'll be right back to you, but coming up, nothing more important in the NFL than having a franchise quarterback, right? But do you pay now or pay later? Why what we see on the field is only a piece of the pie for NFL teams. That's coming up next on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Some of these young kids these days, when they're trying to get a date, they neg the person.
This ain't new, y'all.
You say, oh, you're not that pretty, you're not that smart, and maybe that'll bring them around. Mark Murphy is out here trying to neg Aaron Rodgers, and it ain't gonna work.
You know me. I mean, the odds of me being positive on something are about the same as Halley's Comet coming around, which is about every 77 years.
Is Tim Tebow going to make the Jaguars roster?
Hell no.
A dunk like that is a game changer and a momentum swinger. I say this wholeheartedly. I hope one day you get to experience that.
You're selling me short. Obviously, in my day, I've dunked on quite a few people. At least most of them were imaginary.
Kyler Murray was never a Cowboys fan. When asked why he wasn't a Cowboys fan growing up, he simply replied, they were always blank. Marcus Spears. Face beat, LOL.
I just want to know what you think face beat means.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have no idea.
Neither do I. Well, the future of college football is changing as we speak, as the commissioners from the Power Five conferences, as well as Notre Dame's Jack Swarbrick, are in Chicago, determining the structure of a potential 12-team playoff. This is exciting stuff. So let's bring in Paul Feinbaum and Heather Dinitz, who is in Chicago, to join us here. Heather, set the scene for us. What is at stake today? And here's the big thing. What can we expect to hear and when?
Good morning. I am standing in the lobby of the Big Ten offices in Chicago, and the 10 FBS commissioners and Jack Swarbrick are going to be meeting at 9 a.m. Central till about noon, unless they finish earlier. They're upstairs. They're sort of starting to trickle in. And what we can expect is, I believe that they are going to push forward the proposal they received last Thursday to the presidents and chancellors who comprise the CFP's board of managers. They'll meet in Dallas on Tuesday. Now, that being said, I'm going to urge college football fans to have caution and patience, because that's what's being stressed to me. This is going to take a long time. They didn't draw any major conclusions or solve any major problems last night. We have to remember that four people on the working group had 2 years to digest this plan. The seven other members of the board of the commissioners did not. This is the first time they're digesting it. I've been told they haven't had enough time to go back to their athletic directors, their coaches, their university presidents to get their take on it. So this is going to unfold very slowly. And when they present it to the presidents and chancellors, there's going to be a lot of things circled that need further digging and research over the summer.
College football fans having patience, I think that's impossible, Heather. I want to see that happen. So, Paul, as you exhale and try to channel your chi with patience on this one, what, as somebody who has covered college football as long as you have, what is your reaction to this moment where we are on the precipice of something like a 12-team playoff?
Well, I want to ask Heather to tell the people upstairs, don't tell us to have patience. We're as excited as we have ever been about college football. And right as, I mean, a guy like me about to jump up and down and scream, they're going to tell us, calm down, we haven't had a chance. Yes, you have. You've had a long time. You've had your whole life to look over this. Ryan, with all due respect to the gentleman upstairs, this is going to happen. This is a fait accompli. It's just a matter of when they sign off on it. But there is one thing I'm concerned about. And if these moguls of college football pass this along, and then sometime in September, they tell us, well, you know, we really need more time. We're not ready to do it in 2 years. There is going to be a revolt College football fans are ready for change. We're not ready to sit around on our hands for the next 4 years waiting to see this thing finally take place.
Okay, so Heather, is there a winner? Give me one winner and one loser from this expansion.
Well, if there's a winner, Ryan, I would say it's the group of five. I mean, when you look at the proposal that was placed in front of those commissioners, there's not a delineation between Power Five and Group of Five. It is the highest ranked six conference champions. That means you get a seat at the table in the college football playoff. That's not what it's like in this current four-team system. Right now, the highest ranked Group of Five champion is guaranteed a spot in a New Year's Six Bowl. That's an entirely different conversation. I can tell you one of the questions that those Group of Five constituents, ADs, are asking and presidents is probably going to be, well, how much money do we get out of it? And they're not ready to answer that question yet. But to your point, a loser might be the bowl system. And I don't mean the New Year's Six Bowls. I mean the fringe bowls. I think that there are a lot of bowls that are already struggling out there. And I think that there could be a consequence in terms of how the system moves forward and impacts those other bowls.
Okay, we'll see how this plays out. But I say that with all the optimism that Paul Feinbaum has, which is it's going to happen. I'll have patience, but it's going to happen. Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right, back to the NFL. Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, both first round picks in the 2018 draft, all are eligible for contract extension. So both quarterbacks were asked about those situations. And here's what they said.
I mean, I'm in no rush because I'm just trying to win games. And like I said, it'll handle itself. I mean, I've bet on myself my whole life. I've always taken it one day at a time, one play at a time. And like I said, I'm not going to handle it any differently now.
You know, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not really focused on that right now. I'm focused on getting me a Super Bowl. You know, I'm focused on getting better.
It's hard not to focus on it, though. I mean, I just have to say that. Let's bring in our football team and let's start with our GM, Mike. For Lamar and Baker, who would you break the bank for? Either, neither, or both?
Oh, this is easy. You get sign Lamar Jackson ASAP, league MVP. He's dynamic. He's only going to get better. You look at Deshaun Watson. You look at Dak Prescott, $39, $40 million a year. That's something that I think that's where the market will be. Look, he has to get better. All young players do. But he's already played at such an exceptional level. I would not sign Baker Mayfield. They still have essentially three more years. This year, next year, they can always franchise him. He was only 20th in QBR in dropback passing. He has really just an above average skill set. And Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, when he was the offensive coordinator in Minnesota, won with other players like Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins. If I'm the Browns, I allocate some of that money right now to guys like Nick Chubb, Denzel Ward. I would not sign Baker Mayfield.
So let me get this straight. You're not saying I would not sign Baker Mayfield now. You're saying you would not sign him to a long-term deal even later or going forward.
Yeah, I would wait at least a couple of years. Let's see if he keeps playing at the level he did. He played very well last year, but I give a lot of that credit to Kevin Stefanski and the incredible team they built there. And when you're allocating dollars, I just think there's a better use of those dollars.
Kimberly, what do you think about that?
You know, last year it was Roethlisberger. This year, apparently, Mike T is going to take aim at Baker Mayfield and just throw shots at him. So now I know where we are. I mean, like, give the guy a break, can we please? Look at what he has dealt with since coming into the league. I know no situation is easy, but come on. The guy had Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. What? Come on, okay? Then he goes to Freddie Kitchens, and now he's got Kevin Stefanski. This is the first offseason where Baker has had the same coaching staff. So give the guy, cut him some slack. And I just looked during the break, I just looked at all 32, who are the starting QBs in the league. I would take Baker over, 19 of those guys. Like, I understand you can look at stats and everything, but look, compare Baker to every other QB. There aren't a lot of other QBs that I would rather have instead of Baker. But I see I'm not going to change Mike's mind because he's just dug in on this.
No, it's a fair point, but you don't have to pay him. You can wait a couple of years, and let's make sure that last year was the beginning of a new relationship with Kevin Stefanski. My point is Lamar Jackson has played at a high level from the moment he started. Baker hasn't, so why rush if you're the Browns?
Rob, what do you think?
Well, I look at everything as a football player. And if I was a D coordinator, I look at these two players, which one is going to give me a bigger headache trying to prepare for? And that's Jackson. I mean, think about the things that he's able to do with his feet, getting out of the pocket. We all saw that in the game where he came back out of the locker room through a touchdown pass. So for me, I just think that when you look at Jackson and the things that he can do getting out of the pocket, and you look at Baker, if you're going against him as a coordinator, you're just saying to your D-line, make sure you keep Baker in the pocket, make him throw from a tight pocket. He's not a big, tall guy, so he's not going to be able to see the field that well. You keep him contained in the pocket. He's going to throw you the football eventually. So when you just look at Lamar and the things that he's able to do, it's so hard to stop him. They can run the RPO. He can throw the ball down the field. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's going to continue to grow. So I would pay Lamar right now. And I would wait on Baker, just like Mike's saying, wait on him. You have time. You have at least, you can wait it out 3 years to see if he improves and gets better as a passer, because he's not a running quarterback. If he runs, he's eventually just going to wear out and get hurt. So I'm paying Lamar. I'm not paying Baker.
All right. Well, Baker says he bets on himself. I guess he's going to be betting against you, Rob, and you, Mike T. We'll see how his bet ends up working out. All right, guys, coming up. Kevin Durant carried the Nets into Milwaukee, but the Bucks were able to force a game seven. Does KD have enough left in the tank to avoid elimination? We're bringing our big man lineup in next.